is crackling, everybody. Welcome on in to the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast, powered by Number Fire. That is right here on numberfire.com. And of course, the Number Fire Podcast Network, as we are taking a look at the Pro Bowl from a DFS perspective, breaking down strategies for this unique event and what players we're focusing on for this Sunday, for the biggest event in the DFS calendar. My name is Jim Sonnes. I am a senior writer and analyst for NumberFire.com, joined, as always, by Brandon Gadula. He is a senior editor and analyst for NumberFire. Brandon, Pro Bowl week is upon us. I know you've been waiting for this day for years at this point. How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Pro Bowl, so I don't normally watch it, but with DFS being available for the Pro Bowl, that makes me much more inclined to turn this game on, because I certainly wouldn't otherwise.
And I feel like they should go harder at, you know, the betting slash like DFS angle for this thing, because like, I know the Pro Bowl gets ratings, but if you want the ratings to go up, just go all in on the DFS slash like betting angles to it. Like, yeah. I don't know how you could do that necessarily, like make it more DFS friendly, but like, I want to know who's playing snaps. Like, I want to know all this stuff, because like, that's the only reason this event should exist, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a big plus that they moved it from the week after the Super Bowl to the week before. That definitely probably help, but yeah, it's like hard to even track which players are sitting out and who's replacing them. And like, it's not that easy, and it really should be pretty easy. It's the NFL. They should sort of have this figured out better.
We can go through those because I searched for it this morning, because I wanted to have like a list that I could put in like the podcast notes on numberfire.com, but there is no full list. Like, I went to the NFL.com's list, and they still have Drew Brees on there. He's not going to be here. Dak Prescott is going to replace him. That was announced like 2 days ago, but the NFLfreaking.com website still says that Drew Brees will be here. He will not. Aaron Rodgers, not going to be here. So like, there's really no reliable source. So we'll go through full rosters later on the podcast. I have it here on my notes, but like, it's kind of a nightmare, and I kind of love it, because like, it can lead to a lot of really dumb rosters of dudes who are not even in the same state where the game is taking place. So like, it could be worse, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Brees is still in the player pool.
Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like,
I think Michael Thomas is out, right?
Yes. He and Brees were removed for Dak and Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper on the NFC roster, even though he didn't play in the NFC the entire year. But, you know, why not? It's the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, Julio is not playing. I guess we can talk about it later. But, yeah, it's you kind of got to, like, think about things a little bit.
My arch nemesis is here, so that's good. Mitchell Trubisky, the roster. So we'll get to talk about him, which will be a whole lot of fun. We'll get to that in a second. Quick programming note for the podcast, because we have a week until the Super Bowl. We do have a Super Bowl podcast. It'll be up most likely Thursday, which is today, the day we are recording this right now. Most likely today, depends on schedules, the way things work. We're planning on doing it around noon or so, but that could change. So make sure you subscribe to the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app to get that right as it is posted. And that'll be a single game preview for next week's game. Also, for the big game next week, you can get a shot at $1 million on FanDuel for a single game entry. It is the Big Game Bowl with $2.53 million in total prizes and $1 million going to first place. It is just $9.99 to enter, and you can roll out up to 150 entries to get yourself a shot at the big prize. Just go to FanDuel.com, check out the NFL lobby, and get yourself entered to the Big Game Bowl. Let's take a look at the Pro Bowl here, Brandon, because it's a unique format. And I think the big thing that is worth discussing at the top is the unique rules for the Pro Bowl, where teams are required to have at least one running back and one tight end on the field at all times. And that is pretty big for DFS, because there are only two tight ends on the roster. So if we assume they have one tight end out there for every snap, just one, you're going to get an average snap rate of 50% for the two tight ends who are on each roster. They're also required to have, they also only have four wide receivers on the Pro Bowl roster, which means that those guys will play a lot of snaps. But at running back, there are three running backs here. There will likely be only one running back on the field on each snap. So roughly a 33% snap rate for them, 33% for quarterbacks as well. So to me, this says we should be pretty excited about almost exclusively wide receivers and tight ends for this event. What are your overall thoughts when it comes to positions you want to target for the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, basically the same conclusion. I mean, quarterbacks on FanDuel throughout the year, they'll gain FanDuel points partially through volume, certainly through efficiency, but you generally see these quarterbacks throw fewer than 20 times. And I mean, if you're plugging in a quarterback during a regular game who's going to throw 15 pass attempts, you're not going to want to play that particular quarterback. And then if you look at the pricing, the quarterbacks basically are just the top of the list. So $14,000 for Patrick Mahomes, he's going to play a quarter roughly worth of snaps, and that's not enough for him to pay off that price tag.
Yeah, and like I guess the one difference I would have there is that I don't care about price personally because most of my roster will be tight ends and wide receivers, and they happen to be very cheap. So I'm going to be under the salary cap, I think, for every roster and probably by a pretty decent amount. So, like, I guess that makes me more okay, more tolerant of quarterbacks than I otherwise would be if I were looking at it from, like, a price per dollar perspective. But
I mean,
that's why I wound up being okay with them, I guess. Like, they're not my targets, but the salary doesn't sour me.
Yeah, I mean, I have here in my notes that the pricing basically doesn't matter, especially if you don't play any quarterbacks.
Correct.
Antonio Brown is the most expensive non-quarterback at $12,500, and he's not even playing. So the most expensive player is $12,000 outside of quarterbacks. And, I mean, you start your salary with $12,000 per player. So
yeah, so like if you were to exclude all quarterbacks, you could pick the highest salaried player who is here at any position you wanted, and your roster would be fine.
Yep.
So,
and I mean, it sounds kind of silly that we're talking about not playing quarterbacks, but the numbers just don't back it up. And that's even with how pass heavy these games are, about 71% pass rate over the past 5 years in the Pro Bowl. And even still, the quarterbacks just aren't really worth it. I mean, you make a good point where if price doesn't matter, you can take a shot. Yeah. We have seen some quarterbacks get to like roughly 20, fantasy points, but not over the past 2 years when scoring's been down.
Yeah. And like, I think that like a lot of it for the past 2 years is due to touchdowns. Touchdowns have been lower the past 2 years, and quarterbacks, especially in the Pro Bowl, they're going to get their only points via touchdowns essentially.
Yeah.
So like, my thought process is if I think scoring will be higher this year, I can better tolerate quarterbacks. But if I think it will stay low, I'm just going to focus on wide receivers and tight ends. Let's talk about that first before we talk more about quarterbacks and scoring. The reason we are so excited about wide receivers and tight ends is because they've been filthy in this format. So if we look at the past five Pro Bowls and look at the five highest scoring players each of the past 5 years, because again, salary kind of doesn't matter. So you can just kind of shoot for the players you think will be the highest scoring players. Look at just the five highest scoring players, because it's a five-person roster. Over the past 5 years, it's been pretty much just wide receivers and tight ends. Each of the past 2 years, it's actually been exclusively two wide receivers and three tight ends. All five of the seasons, there have been at least or exactly two tight ends among the top five in scores. They were on separate teams four times, but they were on the same team once, those two tight ends. So like, it doesn't even have to be separate teams. They can be two tight ends on the exact same team. The other thing I like about tight ends is that their floor is really good. If we look at this five-game sample, again, they have two tight ends per roster and then some four total per year. That gives us 20 total tight ends. Half of them, 10, have scored double-digit FanDuel points. Five of them have scored 15 or more FanDuel points, which is more than any other position. So tight ends just score a lot of points at the Pro Bowl. We've had a couple of years, both in 2017 and 2015, where the highest scoring player in the Pro Bowl was a tight end. So even for your MVP slot, I am inclined to go with either a tight end or a wide receiver there, because it's been a wide receiver the other 3 years. And then I want to make sure I have two tight ends on pretty much every roster. So, Brandon, personally, I am very much okay with having a roster that is composed entirely of wide receivers and tight ends. What is your kind of ideal construction here from a positional perspective?
Yeah, I think it's about the same for me with tight ends and wide receivers. Of course, we can pay for quarterbacks, as we mentioned. I am a little bit intrigued by the particular running backs who are here. We'll talk about them later. But I mean, just to, you know, further show why tight ends are just so valuable. I mean, over the past 5 years, they've accounted for just 24% of the targets in these games, but 42% of the touchdowns, 37% of the red zone targets, and 48% of the end zone targets. And, you know, that's compared to 45% of the touchdowns for receivers. So pretty close there, 45% of the TDs going to receivers compared to 42 for tight ends. You know, receivers getting 41% of the red zone targets, 37% for tight ends, and 50% of the end zone targets going to receivers, 48 for tight ends again. So it's nearly identical, but you hit on a very important point. There are four tight ends in this game compared to eight receivers. So that usage is filtered through them more predictably. So it's really kind of almost hard to make the case not to prioritize building around tight ends and wide receivers, even when we're looking at the MVP slot. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm a little bit intrigued, like I said, by some of these running backs who are here because they can catch passes. You know, Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara. The AFC is a bit weirder with their, you know, running back selection, but I could see the case for maybe using some of the NFC running backs because they can catch passes.
Yeah. Touching on wide receivers quickly, you mentioned that they've scored a good number of points, and they have over the past 5 years. 15 wide receivers have scored double-digit FanDuel points. That is more than any other position. There have been 10 tight ends again, 7 quarterbacks, and 6 running backs who have done so. So heavily skewed towards wide receivers and tight ends. They have had 4 wide receivers score 15 or more points. Again, that's compared to 5 at tight end, 2 for quarterback, and 1 for running back. And both wide receivers and tight ends have had one game with at least 20 FanDuel points, and there have been no running backs or quarterbacks who have done so. So I think when we look at, again, looking at the top 5 in scoring, there have been 3 wide receivers among the top 5 in scoring twice, 2 wide receivers twice, and then only 1 wide receiver once. So probably going to be 2 or 3 wide receivers for me on almost every roster, and I think that they're really attractive. I want to talk about the quarterbacks here before we get to the running backs, because I think if I were carving out a pecking order for positions, I would go tight end 1, wide receiver 2, quarterback 3. Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I mean, over the past 5 years, there's been a 71% pass rate in the Pro Bowl. You know, despite that, very few big games from quarterbacks. Over the past 2 years, no quarterbacks had more than 8 FanDuel points.
And top on that list was Alex Smith.
Yeah, scoring's been down in the Pro Bowls. Passing attempts, as I sort of mentioned before, really capped. You're not going to get extended run from a quarterback in these games. So that's just kind of not enough volume for quarterbacks to post big games, but it's also probably a little bit safer to guarantee some points from your quarterbacks rather than some of these the running backs, particularly from the AFC. I'm having trouble there. But for quarterbacks, I would rank them 3rd after tight ends and wide receivers.
Yeah, so you mentioned the volume for quarterbacks. The one positive of the volume is that we could actually see an increase in Russell Wilson's volume. So that's good.
Because, yeah, 13 attempts.
Yeah, so like, I think that Wilson is intriguing for that reason. But overall, I think the reason I am okay with quarterbacks, despite the decrease in, you know, recent scoring, is that the quarterbacks who are actually here are better than what we've seen in past years. Last year, both Derek Carr and Alex Smith were here. 2016, you had Dak Prescott, Andy Dalton, Alex Smith. 2015, Derek Carr, Tyrod Taylor, Teddy Bridgewater was here. Like, there have been a lot of not great quarterbacks. But the list this year is Patrick Mahomes, Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson, Mitchell Trubisky, Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott. So, like, in the AFC, at least, the quarterbacks are really good, and I love Russ. So I think if I were projecting points for these players, I would expect a rebound in scoring for quarterbacks. So I think that, like, there's no line, there's no total as of right now, but I would expect it to be above 50, even though the scoring has been well below that on average the past 2 years. I think it should be above 50 because the quarterbacks here are simply better. So I think what a lot of my rosters will wind up being is one quarterback, two wide receivers, and two tight ends. To me, I think that Russell Wilson is a guy who stands out most among the quarterbacks, but I also do like Deshaun Watson because Watson is a guy who does well, even though the talent around him is abysmal outside of DeAndre Hopkins. So I think that Wilson and Watson are my two favorites. What are your thoughts for quarterback, Brandon, and how heavy will you go at the position for this week?
Realistically, I can see the case for the scoring being up. You made a good point with the quarterback talent here. It's a little hard for me to just sort of to decipher these quarterbacks with any sort of real confidence. Right. I would think like Patrick Mahomes, I mean, obviously he could thrive in this game, but he might just be sort of, they might not run him out there too much because he just got right. bounced. Whereas someone like Deshaun Watson, I've been sitting home for longer than that. So that's always a bit of a gamble here. But I think I have in my notes that I have Andrew Luck number one.
Okay.
And Deshaun Watson number two, Russell Wilson third.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to get to Dak and Trubisky.
Because a big part of their appeal for fantasy is rushing, and there's been one rushing touchdown by a quarterback here in the past 5 years. That was Cam Newton. No quarterback has had more than 15 rushing yards. So I would agree with that.
Yeah. But if you want to talk about a quarterback who doesn't have a lot of talent around him, Andrew Luck fits the bill. I'm not the biggest Andrew Luck guy, but outside of T.Y. Hilton, and
his
Eric
offensive
Ebron.
Line is better than Watson's, so from that perspective he has better talent, but the talent at receiver, it's similar for both, where they have one really good guy and then a whole lot of trash.
Yeah, he also has Eric Ebron in this game, which could be a little bit of a mini stack. I'm probably not going to get to that point, but it is something that we could consider if we really wanted to.
Okay, I think that Luck would probably be third for me, but we agree the top three are the same overall at quarterback. So let's talk about the running backs here. You mentioned the AFC running backs being kind of weird. I agree. It's James Conner, Melvin Gordon, who is somehow walking. I don't know. This dude is hobbled 2 weeks ago, and he's at the Pro Bowl. I don't get it. Lamar Miller, the third running back there in the NFC. Got Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Alvin Kamara. Of these guys, Connor and Saquon, the lone two players who were not in the playoffs. And I think that does help a little bit. But Brandon, overall, running backs kind of need to catch passes if they're going to pay off. And I think that's what you were alluding to before.
Yeah, you look specifically, I'll just sort of dig right into the AFC. James Conner can catch passes. It's not his strong suit. Obviously, things will probably be a bit easier for him to catch some passes out of the backfield. But I basically have a huge question mark around Melvin Gordon. I cannot imagine that Melvin Gordon gets a lot of touches and receptions here. Obviously, he can do that, but it just doesn't make sense. And then you say, okay, if it's not Melvin Gordon playing a lot of snaps and seeing a lot of touches, are they going to throw the ball to Lamar Miller a lot? It's possible right. that Deshaun Watson does that, especially because DeAndre Hopkins is not playing. But this could suggest to me that the AFC pretty much goes full-on pass mode. And, obviously rushing is down significantly in this game, but it could be even more so with the running backs that they have.
But Saquon, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
We know how stupid he is, from a talent perspective. He can catch passes. I think from a running back perspective, he also has the rest factor in his favor. I kind of think Saquon's a level above every other running back if I decide to go at that position.
Yeah, he's definitely by far my number one. It's not particularly close. And frankly, I may not really use any other running back unless I, have like $9,000 left and I just sort of plug in Lamar Miller and because maybe if they won't throw him the ball, maybe they'll hand him the ball a few times. That's about it. I mean, even in a red zone, these teams throw the ball quite a bit. So there's just not a whole lot of angles to attack rush first running backs.
Yeah, I agree. And again, like the thing too, like the reason we're talking about the need to catch passes, because over the past five Pro Bowls, again, only six running backs have scored double-digit FanDuel points. Three of those six had receiving touchdowns, and the other three all had at least five receptions. So, like, you're not going to get to double digits without working the passing game. Mark Ingram, in the past five Pro Bowls, is the only player with more than nine carries and more than 43 rushing yards. And he had 11 carries, so I think it was 72 yards, but he still didn't score double-digit FanDuel points because he didn't get enough work as a receiver. So, like, it doesn't matter what rushing volume you get. It is all about the work you get as a receiver. So that's why Saquon, to me, I think is kind of in a tier of his own at running back. He's got the rest. He's got the disgusting talent. Passing game work is there. They'll be running behind a good offensive line. So I think that Saquon, to me, is easily my favorite running back. Let's talk about some individual players at wide receiver and tight end, Brandon. Let's go through the rosters quick here. In the AFC, I believe Tyreek Hill is going to be there with Keenan Allen, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Jarvis Landry. Their tight ends are Eric Ebron and Jared Cook. The receivers in the NFC, Adam Thielen, Devontae Adams, Mike Evans, and Amari Cooper. And then the tight ends are George Kittle and Austin Hooper. I think to me, one name that really stands out that I'm probably going to have.
I bet I know it.
Yeah, you know it. Who's going to be in my MVP slot quite a bit, is George freaking Kittle. Is that who you thought it'd be?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, this dude is catching passes from Nick Mullins, C.J. Beathard, and making them look really good, and now you give him Russell Wilson. Like, Wilson gets to benefit from George Kittle as opposed to being terrorized by him playing the NFC West for once. And George Kittle, like, his salary is $9,000, but I think he's going to be in my MVP slot, not like over half my rosters, but like in a pretty good number of them.
Yeah. I mean, he is basically, he's been the best run after catch player in the league like the past 2 years. He was certainly that this year, which sounds kind of weird, but it's really the case. I did look back at yards after the catch, per reception in this, just to see if, you know, yards after the catch were sort of up because tackling and everything wasn't, you know, quite as, focused or however you want to phrase it. It's not really been the case, but that's still not going to get me to avoid George Kittle by any means.
Yeah, so he's my favorite tight end. He's probably my favorite player in the Pro Bowl in general this year. So I like him a lot. I do like Jared Cook because I don't think anybody will use him, but Jared Cook has a lot of the same factors in his favor that George Kittle does, where he's coming from an offense that, you know, wasn't great this year, but he'll have better talent around him. So I kind of think that Jared Cook, also oncoming free agent, maybe wants to show out for that. So I think Kittle is my favorite guy straight up. Jared Cook is going to be one of my favorite guys who I think not many other people will use. What are your thoughts on the AFC pro or tight ends? Or I guess the non-Kittle tight ends. We'll toss Austin Hooper in there too, and I do like him as well.
Yeah, it sounds like Jared Cook's your number two tight end. He is for me. He's replacing Travis Kelce in this game. And, I mean, look, he's athletic still, but he's 31. This is his first Pro Bowl. He got in as a replacement. He had a really good year.
I like this narrative.
I mean, that stuff matters to me. I would have to think that, you know, that gets baked in a little bit. And, you know, given his price of $8,000, like, and just how much tight ends are going to be on the field and be used, that definitely is a plus for me, especially because Eric Ebron was sort of so hurt at the end of the year that,
like, he wasn't on the same level as T.Y. Hilton, but it was close.
Yeah, I mean, it there were games where he was playing like 20% of the snaps all of a sudden, and you just have to think that he's, you know, super, super hurt. But
yeah,
he's here. I still like Ebron. I would rank him over Austin Hooper, who's only 7,000. Hooper's replacing Ertz, but I do prefer Jared Cook to Eric Ebron. because I think I'm going to target the AFC pass catchers a little more.
Okay.
Because I do like Saquon out of the NFC.
Yeah, I think my decision is between Hooper and Ebron, but I think they're pretty much on the same level for me. I like Austin Hooper as a talent in general, which I think is why I might have him up there with Ebron, but I think they're both below Cook and Kittle for me. Let's talk here about the wide receivers. I'm having a hard time picking a single person who stands out to me, but I like Mike Evans a lot. He's replacing, I believe he's replacing... I actually forgot who he's replacing. He's replacing somebody. Regardless, Mike Evans is here, which is important. And he goes from a quarterback who struggled with deep ball accuracy, I think is the best way to put that, and now gets to play potentially Russell Wilson. So I think Mike Evans, my favorite receiver, because he has that downfield ability. He's a big body. I think I like Evans most. But I have a lot harder time deciphering which receiver I like most than I do at tight end. What are your thoughts as far as wide receivers go, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, Evans is replacing Julio Jones here.
Same person.
Yeah. I do have one wide receiver who stands out to me quite a bit, and that's Juju.
Yeah.
He's replacing Antonio Brown, or Antonio Brown isn't. I don't know what the one-to-one really is. I don't care, but I know Antonio Brown's not here, and I know that Juju's here. So he's a young guy. He's fun. He's probably going to take this more seriously than he should. And he is super athletic, and he can make a big play with it. Like, once he catches the ball,
yeah,
he has run after the catch ability. So I have Juju as my number one at 11,500. After that, I still have to put Tyreek Hill second.
Yeah.
Because it really only takes one play from him. They're going to get him at least a deep shot. He's just going to sort of run deep. But I do have Mike Evans third, followed by Adam Thielen. These are very, very subjective and just feely. But, you know, I think Thielen, he tailed off so much at the end of the season that he's got something to show. He seems like he's got that chip in him.
Yeah, he can get a little fiery when he needs to. That is for sure. The reason that I agree with you on Juju, and I probably put him second for me behind Evans, is that we've seen him get targets in an offense that includes talent already. And you look at the receivers on this roster, it's Tyreek Hill, Juju, Keenan, and Jarvis, like, and then Eric Ebron and Jared Cook. Tyreek and Juju are basically the two downfield threats on that roster, and they've got Mahomes and Watson as two of the quarterbacks. Dudes who love to chuck it deep. So I think that's why, to me, Juju's going to be my number two behind Evans. Maybe he should be my number one, honestly. But I agree with you with your thought process on Juju. Like, his personality just seems good for the Pro Bowl. Like, he's kind of, like, lovably weird. And I think that fits well at the Pro Bowl. So I think that, yeah, I agree that Juju Smith-Schuster is pretty fun. So I think that they're the guys I like. The Jared Cook for me of wide receivers is probably Amari Cooper, because he's good after the catch. He has played in a system that is not necessarily the most talented system. That's, I guess, the way I would phrase that. And, like, I think that he's getting an upgrade by playing with this roster around him as opposed to what he played with in the regular season. And again, he has the same disadvantages everybody else now, where he doesn't know the teammates around him. So I think Amari Cooper is kind of the guy I don't assume a lot of people will use, because he was a late addition and stuff like that. But I think I am inclined to use him. Are you scared off of Cooper though, Brandon, because he did play in the divisional round?
Not really. I don't think I'm scared off of any of these receivers, because sure, frankly, any of them can do it. But I do sort of have, I have Cooper fifth.
Okay.
And again, these are just sort of gut feel based on how they might be used. I should probably have Davante Adams higher. I don't know what his injury status is.
I think the reasoning I have him lower is because he had that injury at the end of the year, and because he burned me last year. I had a lot of Davante Adams in the Pro Bowl last year, and he think he had like two targets and no receptions.
Yeah, he like barely even showed up on my spreadsheet, and I was like, has he been in the Pro Bowl before?
I was like, oh, he's going from Brett Hundley to whoever was throwing passes for the NFC last year, Russell Wilson again,
yeah,
and Jared Goff, the best quarterback in football, Andrew Brees. And I was like, oh, cool, Davante Adams will go off, and nothing.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I'm fine with Cooper. I'm not really weighing in the fact that he did play a playoff game.
Okay.
So again, I have him fifth. I don't know where to land with Jarvis Landry and Keenan Allen. They're both sort of prototypical slot guys who can be used down the field. It just depends on sort of what happens. But Landry's the cheapest wide receiver here at 9,000. And talking about someone who probably take this more seriously than he should, Jarvis Landry is on that list.
That's true. I would agree with that as well. So I think we've kind of covered most of everything. So usually for our PGA podcast, for those of you who don't listen, we pick a winner. And our winner is the person we think is going to do well. And we just do it for fun. I think we should pick a winner for this week, Brandon. The player you think will score the most points at the Pro Bowl. I will let you go first. Who do you want for your winner for the Pro Bowl this weekend?
I'm going to have to ride or die with my second favorite football player, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay, then I'll go George Kittle. We'll go tight end versus wide receiver. We're just going fun guys after the catch. And I think that that's – the problem is that there's not a lot of blocking the Pro Bowl, so I don't get to watch George Kittle pancake dudes because he's a disgusting blocker, and that's kind of upsetting. But, you know, I'll live, I think.
One quick note.
Yeah.
Tariq Cohen is here for being a return specialist, so –
You're right. Oh, man, he might play. I'm going to get Tariq Cohen.
Oh, I was going to say probably avoid him if he's just going to be a return specialist.
Oh, no, because, like, so Josh Cribbs, like, I was going through, like, what are they called? My gosh, box scores.
I was going to help you, but I didn't know.
Cedric Pierman had 2 receptions for 24 yards. Cordarrelle Patterson had 1 reception for 1 yard. Like, they do use the return guys at their natural positions if Cordarrelle Patterson has one. I think Josh Cribbs may have been back in 2012. But, like, they do use those guys in their regular spots, too. So I actually don't think Tariq Cohen is totally out of play.
I mean, obviously he could break a big play if he gets a chance. For me, it's more that he's going to play behind Saquon.
Sure.
Maybe Alvin Kamara just doesn't really see much because he just played last week. Ezekiel Elliott, I don't really have a feel either way because he just sort of can handle so much work. Okay. I thought maybe Cohen was someone to avoid.
Maybe he is.
I can see the case. It's a high risk, but probably a high reward because he'll be, I mean, very low owned here.
You know what's a blessing, though, is that there's no John Kuhn this week because John Kuhn is 7th in the Pro Bowl in rushing yardage over the past 5 years.
So. There's Kyle Juszczyk. He can catch some passes.
Oh, no. Well, check down Nick Mullins isn't here, so I guess that's a positive. But...
Oh, and don't flex kickers.
Oh, yeah, because they don't give any attempts, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm good with that. All right, any final thoughts for you on the Pro Bowl before we get prepping for next week's other game, the afterthought of the NFL season after the conference championships?
Have fun with this. It's we can break it down and see what's happened in the past. We can try to project, but... This is not an exact science. It's even less of an exact science than preseason. So just have fun with it.
Come on, George Kittle. I need some money, man. Let's go. Let's cook here. We've lost our flow of income from using running backs in the flex during the NFL season. So come on, George Kittle. Come through. We need you, baby. Once again, our Super Bowl preview podcast going up most likely later today. You can find that on the Number Fire Daily Fantasy Podcast feed on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, the Google Play Store, and the TuneIn app as well. Brandon, if people have questions for you on Twitter, where can they find you there?
I am at Gadula13, GDULA13.
And I am at Jim Sonnes, JimSannes. You can also follow the Number Fire Podcast Network at Number Fire Pods, PODS, as in podcasts. Good luck with the Pro Bowl. Have fun filling out rosters. I will not say to have fun watching it because I really hope you have better things to do on your Sunday afternoon before we get to next week and the Super Bowl. We'll talk to you again later today. This has been the Heat Check Fantasy Podcast powered by Number Fire.